Now look with me, if you would, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Somebody shout for the word. It says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in your heart to give you the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Listen very carefully. What he did in creation, he does in salvation in you. Let me remind you about creation. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Go ahead and read with me. Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3. Ready, read. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Verse 2 and 3. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Next verse. "And God said, let there be light." Now let's read this a little bit stronger in unison. Verse 3 again. "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." Wow. What he did in Genesis 1, he has done in your inner man. God said, light be in you. When you made him your Lord and Savior, God, who is light, said, "All right, let's turn the lights on. Light be in you. Life be in you. Love be in you." Woo, glory to God. I love it. You see, the same God who ignites galaxies has ignited his life, his light, and his love in you. I want to talk to you just for a few moments this morning about the ever-expanding light, the ever-expanding life, and the ever-expanding love in you. And what I want to center in on just for a few moments today is I want to center in on the love part. Everyone say, the love of God has been shed abroad in my what? In my heart. So would you agree with me that the love of God is in your heart? But what is it doing in your heart? The love of God in your heart should be growing. The Bible says that your love can abound more and more. In other words, my love for God, the revelation of his love for me, and my love for others should be abounding. In other words, it should not remain stagnant. It should be increasing. And every one of us are going to have opportunities for this love in us to expand. Glory to God. How many of you are interested in expansion? Yes. See, just as light expands, at the universe expands at the speed of life, the revelation of his love can expand in your heart. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians, the first chapter. In the 16th verse, he says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, verse 17, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Amen. Praise the Lord. Where did we get lost here? Ephesians 1, let's start in verse 16, and let's go to verse 17. Verse 16. Of Ephesians 1. Praise the Lord. "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ," verse 17, "may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Now notice with me verse 18. "The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Amen. Verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe?" Amen. Glory to God. Somewhere, somehow, I'm lost in translation here. And I don't know why. So I'm going to go to my B-I-B-L-E. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, you know why? Because I'm in Ephesians 1 and I should be in Ephesians 3. Okay. Let's back up. I'm so used to both of them that I automatically start at Ephesians 1. Okay. Back to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. All right. Everybody say, it's all right, Pastor. Go on vacation. Glory to God. Verse 16. Here we go. This is it. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be what? To be strengthened with might by who? By the Holy Spirit in the inner man. Now notice verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. That's where our anchor is. Our love is the foundation. Faith works by love. God is love. And I like to say it this way. Love is the soil that nourishes expansion. Notice verse 18 now. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth. Amen. What is the length? What is the depth? And what is the height? Notice this. The breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. The rest of the verse says, and that you may be able to comprehend, amen, comprehend with all the saints. When we look at the word comprehend, it not only has to do with understanding, it not only has to do of being aware, but comprehending the height, the depth, the length of God's love. Comprehend means to lay hold of it. The mere fact that he said that we could comprehend it tells me that we have the ability to partake of it. We can take hold of it, whether or not we understand it or not. God does not require us to understand it. He requires us to believe it. He requires us to receive it. Comprehension does not have to do with the head. Comprehension has to do with the heart. Comprehension has nothing to do with mental assent. It has everything to do with revelation knowledge down in your spirit. You have the ability to comprehend greatly these wonderful dimension of God's love. Now notice verse 19. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. How can you know something that's beyond knowledge? You can only know it by faith. And you can only know it by revelation. You don't have to understand everything to be in faith about it. You know, Brother Hagin said when he was a little boy, he says, as a little child, I could not figure out how a brown cow would eat green grass and make white milk. And then you'd churn it and make yellow butter. Some people are wondering in the auditorium today, what's a churn? But he said this, all the while, when I was trying to figure that out, he said, I'm enjoying the milk. I'm enjoying the butter. And I'm sure enough enjoying all the ice cream. You do not have to know all of the details to enjoy the God kind, the God light, and the God kind of love. Amen? Notice again, he says, but you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height. Wow. Four dimensions. This is love beyond measure. Notice with me, the width has to do with an all-inclusive reach. God so loved the world. How many of you know he embraces every person? He embraces every nation. He embraces every generation. His love is all embracive. His love is as wide as humanity itself. Don't you ever feel that God doesn't love you? He went to great lengths to give his life for you, that you may come into the family of God. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
So there's the width. And then there's the length. What does the length speak of? The length of God's love speaks of his enduring commitment. How many of you know he never gives up on us? He never gives up on us. His mercy endures forever. Anybody ever made mistakes before? I'll raise both hands. We've all made mistakes. But it does not do us any good to look back at the mistakes that we have made. Why is that? Because his mercy endures forever. His love endures forever. Come on, somebody. Help a preacher out today. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord will speak to you and say things like this. I'm bigger than any mistakes you've ever made. His enduring commitment is yours today. He said in the book of Jeremiah, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Think about it. Love doesn't quit. Love doesn't give up. His love endureth. It's everlasting. Thank God. There's not going to be ever anything in your life that will ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No wonder Paul got bold and says, well, nay, in all these things, I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. And then you think about the depth of his love. He reached down from on high and took hold of you. He reached into the depths of sin and he pulled you out of the pit. I said, he pulled you out of the pit. He pulled you out of a tragic ending in your life. Woo, glory to God. He went, literally, he went into hell itself and paid the price. And then he spoiled the principalities and powers and he made a show of them openly. And then he triumphed over them in it. He went to great depths to bring you out of darkness and bring you in to his glorious light. Woo, glory to God. I think we ought to get happy about that. Amen. You think about it. If you had not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior of your life and you died prematurely, where would you be? You would not be with him. You would be in hell. And hell is a place of torment that endures and goes on and on and on. Can you thank God that he went into the pit? And then there's the height. He not only went into the pit and took you out, then he raised you up. I said he raised you up. Ephesians 2, 5, 6, he says he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. And then this great love is expanding on the inside. Listen very carefully. Paul's prayer isn't for us just to understand love, but to be filled with all the fullness of God. The Amplified Version says that we may have the richest measure of his divine presence and become a body holy and filled and flooded with love himself. Say it with me, love himself lives on the inside of me. Now, when you describe heaven, one way to describe heaven is a great place of his presence.
Amen.
But his presence is really a result of his love.
Amen.
When you go to heaven, all you're going to feel is love. Whoo, glory to God. And I thank God that we're going to be in heaven one day.
Amen.
But listen very carefully. We do not have to go to heaven and wait till we get to heaven to experience his love right now. He says you can have the richest measure of his divine presence. And you can be a person that is wholly filled and flooded with himself, with love himself. Oh, glory to God. Just raise up your hands and say it with me. I receive that, Lord.
I receive that.
I receive the richest measure of your divine presence. Thank you, Lord. Now, to do that requires an enlarged heart. You and I, we can lay hold of the unlimited love. Amen. You can't lay hold of an unlimited love with a limited heart. And that's why we need to grow. That's why we need to expand. That's why we need to stay after this revelation. Listen very carefully. When you are open-hearted, you've got the capacity to carry and reveal the infinite love of God. God, His love is not just for us, but His love should be flowing through us. The book of Philippians says this, that we can shine as lights in this world. I pray that the ever-expanding love would become more real to you. Even as things are expanding in the universe, may His love expand in your heart. And this is all in Christ. This is all in Jesus. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would, and verse 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, and the sixth and seventh verse. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, but we have this treasure, where? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. One translation says, we have this treasure in clay pots. In other words, this treasure is on the inside of your spirit, which is in your body. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So we see then that this inner expansion of life, this inner expansion of love and light is in us. And I believe with all of my heart that we can grow in this. Amen. We can expand in this if we desire to. You know, one thing that Brother Hagin encouraged a lot of his students and a lot of people that attended Rhema, and many people that attended his meetings, he encouraged them to take the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and read those verses and personalize them. And then he said, do it every day. And the challenge was, do it every day for 6 months. And as you do it every day, after that 6 month period of time, you'll begin to see things you've never seen before. You'll be able to partake of great grace and great peace in your life, before it will be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. So let's pray those prayers right now. Place a hand over your heart and say this: God of my Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, I'm asking you to give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. May the eyes of my understanding be flooded with light, that I may know what is the hope of my calling and what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance. And what is the exceeding greatness of your power toward me? For I believe. I believe that I receive revelation knowledge, the eyes of my heart being flooded with light. Pray this with me now. I pray that you grant me, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith. And I declare that I'm being rooted and grounded in love, that I may know the width, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Fill me, O God, I pray, with all the fullness of God. And I believe it, and I receive it, and I am expecting the lights to come on. I'm expecting expansion of revelation knowledge. I'm expecting my spirit man to expand and to grow in the life of God, in the power of God, in the light of God. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. We can grow more and more. You know what else can grow? Our faith can grow. Paul, writing to the church of Thessalonica, said that your faith groweth exceedingly. That word exceedingly means that your faith can grow abundantly. Now listen, your faith will never grow unless you use what you already have. I said your faith will never grow unless you use what you already have. And when we're talking about faith, we're not talking about a religious organization. We're not talking about a denomination. We're talking about a substance that God has placed on the inside of you at the new birth. I like to call it the force of faith. Now, your faith needs to be fed. How many of you enjoy feeding your body? Someone said years ago, said, you know, hey, we feed our bodies 3 hot meals a day, but our spirit 1 cold snack a week. Now, 1 cold snack a week is not going to work. Your faith isn't going to grow. Roy Hicks said this back in 1976 when Brent and I were at Rhema before we were married. We kind of had Google eyes on each other, looking at each other from the auditorium. But Roy Hicks came in and he did a message and he says, faith, use it or lose it. Now, it's not that we ever lose our faith, but it's almost as if we've lost it if we don't use it. Because faith, if it lies dormant and it is not released, won't do us any good. Remember that Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. So I just want to encourage you to use what God's given you. Use your faith. Somebody says, well, my faith isn't where it should be. Well, I can probably say that that's true about most of us. But just because we're not where we should be does not mean that we should stay where we're at. Amen. If you stay where you're at, you will always have where you're at. But if you'll purpose in your heart, I'm not staying where I'm at. I'm going to use my faith. I'm going to grow in my faith. I'm going to move mountains with my faith. I'm going to move debt with my faith. I'm going to move the circumstances with my faith. So you've got to understand that it's in you, but don't let it lie dormant. Feed it. Exercise it. Act on the faith of God. And above all, don't compare yourself with anyone that's been at it for 40 and 50 years, and you've only been at it for 2 days. Are you listening to me? This is a ditch that a lot of people fall into. They compare themselves with others, and they start feeling condemned for where they're at. Let me tell you something. Brother Hagin, Brother Copeland, and all those guys didn't start out like that. It was through a process of time. It was year after year, decade after decade, month after month, using their faith like a tool. And that's the way we need to look at faith. Amen. And then, what about God's love? God's love is in you, but you just can't let it lie dormant. You've got to use the love of God inside of you. And one of the greatest areas that we can walk in love and use love in is by walking in forgiveness toward others. Amen. Anybody ever had to forgive somebody? Yeah. Amen. You're not walking in forgiveness if you're continually rehearsing it. You're not walking in love if you're continually talking about and thinking about what they've done to you. See, walking in forgiveness means releasing. Walking in forgiveness means letting it drop. Well, Pastor Mark, does that mean I need to be best buddies with them? No, I'm not saying that. But you can walk in love toward them, praise the Lord, and you can pray for them. Amen. Amen. And if you see them, you don't have to run the other way. Why? Because you're walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
I said, you're walking in the Spirit.
Yes.
And you're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Walk in love. Walk in love. Walk in love. Speak in love. See people with eyes of faith. What about people that you don't agree with? Well, you know, it's okay to disagree, but you don't have to be ugly about it. Right? I mean, what good is it going to do us to be ugly with one another? All ugly produces is more ugliness. Amen. So you don't have to be in agreement with everybody on everything, but you must disagree without being disagreeable. And without being disagreeable means that you stop strife dead in its tracks. Come on, somebody. You're going to stop strife dead in its tracks. We're not going to judge one another. We're not going to talk poorly about one another. We're going to talk God talk about one another. We're going to talk in the Spirit about one another. We're going to grow. We're going to develop in the light and the life and the love of God. And it's going to expand. And folks, the more you walk in this and the more you live in this, the less penetrable you'll be where the enemy is concerned. Come on. He won't be able to touch you. He may form weapons against you, but thank God those weapons are not going to prosper. Why is that? Because I'm walking in love. I'm walking in the Spirit. Woo, glory to God. And your peace can increase. Hey, that kind of rhymes. I like that, Ray. Hey, I'm feeling it right now. Say it with me. Your peace can increase. Anybody interested in their peace increasing? Oh, yeah, baby. He said that our peace could be multiplied unto us. That's expansion. What that means is this. What used to bother you, don't bother you no mas. You just ain't worried about anything. You're just not wringing your hands. Knees aren't knocking no more because your peace is increasing. It's being multiplied and it's being expanding because you're walking and living in fellowship with the God who created the universe. Amen. See, what things used to bug me don't bug me no more. It just doesn't. You know what I do? I go to bed at night and sleep. I go to bed at night and rest. And it has to do with an increase of peace. But it also has to do with an increase of faith. Because those who really believe will enter into rest. God has rest for your soul. I said, God has rest for your soul. He has peace for your mind. Ever expanding light, life, and love. Well, I've done my best. I hope you got it. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to receive communion this morning. Praise the Lord. What an honor and blessing it is to go to the Lord's table. Amen. But before we do that, I just want to do a little checkup. And I want to ask, have you yet received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you have Him on the inside? Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that if your life ended today, where you would go? If you can't say, yes, I know, then you need to receive Jesus in your heart and say, in your heart. Amen. Yes. Glory to God. So there may be a couple people here today. Every head bowed and every eye closed before we receive communion. You say, Pastor Mark, pray for me. I want to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I don't want to have any doubts in my mind about it. I want to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that I'm a son of God and I'm born of God. Would you just raise your hand all over the auditorium? We're going to pray and we're going to believe God. Anyone? Yes, sir. Anyone else? Anyone else? All over the auditorium. All you got to do is lift your hand up and say, yep, pray for me. Glory to God. Amen. Well, let's pray together. Say it with me. Believe this in your heart. I believe. that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And I open up my heart right now. And I believe with all my heart and say with my mouth that you died for my sins and that you were raised from the dead on my behalf. And I declare this morning that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I thank you for it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Woo, glory to God.